First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcast, whatever podcast app you use, and of course...
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast and YouTube.com/UpNext. Hello, Twitch and YouTube room.
Yes, hello.
How are we doing?
Yes, hello. It's Tuesday night. Means we watched NXT, and then we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why, because we are your NXT friends.
Friends!
We'll always be your NXT friends, and it seems we have a deadline coming.
Yeah.
In about a month or so.
December 10th? Yeah, about a month away.
Next week, Shawn Michaels issues a statement on deadline. Don't know what that can mean.
Everything's going to change.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the matches tonight and everything and all that. And hey, if you still use Twitter, if you've not gone off Twitter, run away from Elon, follow us.
Yeah.
Up Next Podcast for all the updates and all the shows and stuff, because we still use it. It's a good way to help share our stuff.
Yeah, what's the new Twitter going
to
be?
Yeah, how else are we supposed to? I mean, we got to get on TikTok. We got to get the...
Yeah, but like for this kind of stuff, what's the new Twitter going
to
be?
For bickering about wrestling? Where are we going to flock to? Join the Up Next Facebook group.
Yeah.
If there's an Up Next page, but find the group and we'll let you in. And then you can chat about wrestling in there if you want.
The Facebook group's good, actually, as well. Because it can encourage people like Magan to change his carbon dioxide.
I saw
carbon monoxide.
You're a hero.
Thing. Oh, Matt, I've been listening to Ryder SmackDown. That thing's been beeping for like 2 months.
So you saved his life.
So and Surin helped as well.
Everyone, saving everyone's life.
So, Magan, we're glad you're alive.
See, that's the social media Up Next provides if you join the Facebook group. We may save your life, literally and possibly figuratively.
We're heroes here at Up Next.
We could be heroes, and we are over here at Up Next. So join our Facebook group, and then follow us on all that stuff if you want, because we'll still use Twitter for now.
Yeah.
I heard I can pay $8 and get a blue check.
Is that like? I don't think quite that's how it works, is it?
It's how it looks like
if you want to keep it, if you're already verified.
Oh, so we can just pay and get it?
I don't think you can just pay and get it.
Oh, man.
I still think you need to like hit the other things.
Ah.
But then got to pay. Yeah.
We have to prove to people that it's actually us.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It's actually us that are tweeting about, I don't know, what do we tweet about? Wrestling most of the time.
I don't care.
Yeah. I'll still use it until, you know, I don't know.
I don't even follow the guy and he just keeps on popping up on my timeline.
Yeah, that's like YouTube putting that album on my iPhone that one time. I'm still not over it. Elon,
like, I don't want you.
Elon, get out of my
feed.
It's like everything is him, definitely, for sure. But hey, go follow us if you're about that life. You can also listen to a bunch of other stuff. We have some definite housekeeping. I mean, last week... countdown here because we're going to be away next week because we're going to New York. We're going to Newark. We're going to Full Gear. Most importantly, the Post Wrestling 5-year anniversary show in Newark, November 19th. Man, if you don't have your tickets yet, please go. There's limited tickets left and it's going to be a party.
John Pollock's offering free hugs to everyone.
Free hugs?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't hear that.
It's 5-second hugs for every year.
5 seconds. If you get the VIP tickets, it's 10 seconds.
It's 10 seconds. Yeah.
You get a hug from Pollock. You get a sesh with us. You can crack a few White Claws. Whatever. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be the multiverse of Post Wrestling and Up Next. We have so many people involved in the podcast that are gonna be there live. It's gonna be so much fun. If you're a listener, this is it. This is the meetup to not miss for sure. And then we have a bit of a game as well because we're going to be doing fall gear, meaning some fall guys where we're going to have a series of challenges, that may or may not involve a tortilla slapping contest.
It seems like one half of the party is on board.
Yeah.
Andrew, we've
24 hours to respond.
I heard you on Grapple. I heard you on Rewind a SmackDown.
He's talking
chatting
smack.
Shit.
To Neil? Damn.
Well, the gauntlet's been laid now, Andrew.
Yeah.
Will you accept the tortilla challenge?
The tortilla challenge. And the winner is advances in the
in thing. The yeah. Sure. This is like to enter. This is to enter the game. You got to face each.
But
other.
You get a good slot later on. Okay. You can like be the last one, right, maybe, okay. Possibly. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. Anyways, the winner of this whole tournament that we're gonna do with all these little games faces our champion, the BDE champ, Fire Frank, who has been unstoppable in WWE trivia for like a year now. This guy, year plus, this guy is the Roman Reigns of BDE wrestling trivia and all that stuff. So,
yeah, when did he win that?
I don't know, a long time ago.
It was a while.
So, I mean, we are going to do everything in our power to make sure that someone else walks out as VDE champion.
Maybe Frank will crack under the pressure of the live setting.
Oh.
Like, does he perform on the big live stage?
Yeah.
Because we know he can perform on Twitch.
Yeah, that's true.
On YouTube.
He's good at the trivia, though. He's really smart. Good. And, I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome, and we're hoping to see everyone there and all the people who are listeners and post-wrestling people, all that stuff. It's going to be a blast. Shout out Real Media. Shout out Robert Pearson. This is going to be so much fun. So, yeah, we'll be in New York. We'll be going to Full Gear after that show on Saturday. It's going to be a ton of fun. We will be doing a BD Elite tomorrow night on Twitch and YouTube and this free feed, chatting all about Dynamite. And then I'm not sure because we are going to New York next week.
Yeah, I think next week is obviously it's not going to be at our regular time for either Up Next or BD Elite. We may unfortunately not be able to do a show, but I think we're hopefully going to try and put something out next week.
Okay.
So can't guarantee a time or date right yet because we are going to be traveling. We are going to be moving around. We've got lots of stuff to do next week. But we'll try and put some show out on this feed to kind of give our thoughts on everything.
Yeah, so look out for that. We will be chatting about next week's show in some capacity, but we'll chat about some AEW stuff tomorrow leading into our big week, and then going to Full Gear, we'll do some sort of show down the line for all the shenanigans that we get up to. But hey, maybe you want more. Well, anytime is a good time to sign up to patreon.com/upnext. Guys, I said last month was our lowest Patreon month ever. And well, now it's worse. It's dropped by three more. So now I lay out the challenge, support the BD and check out all the great podcasts that we have out there for $5, and you get a month's worth of access to everything that's coming out this month and everything in the back catalog, meaning all the retro NXT reviews. We have a new Was Next coming out this week, chatting all about Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville.
Pretty big episode. The BFFs. Setting up an even bigger
Bailey,
one for next week.
Crazy, considering all where the wrestlers are in the world today. But we do retro NXT reviews, retro pay-per-view reviews, everything. We did a review of Jurassic Park that was out there.
That was fun.
This week is also stacked because we have a show where world champs get to pick stuff. And, well, someone has picked Ratatouille.
Yeah, Mahmoud Almadi, world champ, has picked Ratatouille.
So we're going to chat
Pixar.
A Pixar Disney movie, and I can't wait. I watched it today, and it's a fantastic movie. So Ratatouille.
I guess I'm going to have to cook some Ratatouille tonight.
I don't even know what it is, but I'm excited. So, Ratatouille. And then if that's not enough, next week would have been Macho Man Randy Savage's 70th birthday. So we decided we haven't really talked enough about the Macho Man, so we're doing a best match ever, Randy Savage.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time before this one's released. We've got the feedback thread all up because, as we said, we are away, so we're going to be pre-recording this one. What are your favorite Macho Man matches? Let us know. We're going to be diving into, of course, some of the great matches, a bit of Steamboat, a bit of Flair. Let us know any other kind of hidden gems of the Macho Man you recommend for us,
because
we love doing best match ever, just nerding out about some wrestling, and think it's a good time to talk about Randy.
So we're going to be chatting all about the best of Macho Man, and I'm totally excited about that. We haven't talked enough about him. So one of the guys I definitely was into as a kid, even when I wasn't fully into wrestling, like I knew who he was, always loved watching his stuff. So can't wait to talk about that. But yeah, go check us out. It's only $5. You get access to almost 500 podcasts on our Patreon, and go check it out.
I'd say it's been a bit of an interesting week of wrestling since we last recorded. Friday, I came home from work, and there were two matches I wanted to watch. One on SmackDown, and believe it or not, for all the shade we've been throwing at Rampage, one on Rampage. And it was quite the 1-2. I put on Rey versus Gunther to start with, which I really enjoyed. I thought really lived up to my expectations. Rey Mysterio just feels kind of a bit rejuvenated. This feud with Dominic that's been going on, kind of put on the back burner because I think they're waiting for it, like the right moment, probably a mania or something. But yeah, Gunther, Walter has been on this absolute tear since going to the main roster with the IC title, had those great matches against Sheamus. They're advertising a sort of special World Cup on SmackDown, a tournament where the winner will face Walter.
Interesting.
Yeah, had this big match against Rey, which I really enjoyed. Rey is the best like underdog in history, and Gunther just this final boss kind of character who always does the David Goliath stories really well. I really thoroughly enjoyed that match.
No, I mean, it's those knees, man. Rey Mysterio got those knees, and he's just the Rey Mysterio of the old day now in older Rey Mysterio. It was great. It was awesome. I can't believe, like, Walter's so lucky. He came into the WWE main roster right as, like, things were kind of changing around, and then instantly starts putting on stuff that's obviously the fans who knew him before are like, okay, good. He's still doing the stuff we liked about him. And now getting the new fans who like never seen this guy before and now are like, whoa, who's this dude chopping people? And you're right, the Rey Mysterio, Gunther, like the styles clash there. It was enough that it got my attention. I usually work when SmackDown's on, so I actually checked it out Saturday morning the next day just because that's a dream match, really. And I kind of hope they go at it again. But I think you could have a lot of those dream matches with both guys, Rey versus whoever and Gunther versus whoever.
Well, I think they're building him up in such a great way that I hope he stays as far away from Roman for quite a while, because I think that is something you could really sell once that match eventually happens.
Yeah.
I think keep this title on him for a long, long time. WWE have got more into that now. They're doing the long title reigns. We've obviously seen it with Roman being the longest running reigning champion in modern history, but the Usos this Friday going against New Day to kind of break their record. And I think the long title reigns, they bring a bit of prestige back to the belt and stuff, and Gunther's certainly doing that. So
yeah,
I think he'd be primed for like a main event run when they're ready to pull that trigger.
Yeah, for sure. He just... There's so many different matches and styles that he's just him slapping people up. Mm. It would be great. I did check out some of Crown Jewel as well, which I think I had like hype, but everyone knew like, okay, there's no way Roman's losing to the YouTuber kind of thing. But for Logan Paul, like the credit there again, I mean, after watching his SummerSlam match, it had a lot of people, myself included, like, whoa, okay, this guy took to it pretty quick. I thought, same thing for his match with Roman. Yeah, like it had a lot of drama. It had all the Shawn Michaels best hits like wrapped into one here. Like he taught him pretty much everything. He hit the buckshot lariat like better than CM Punk.
Pretty nice, yeah. Pretty nice buckshot.
It was pretty good.
He's got a nice standing moonsault.
I wonder if that's what injured him. The buckshot. That damn buckshot.
He said something about it. So he tore his MCL, meniscus, and possible ACL, So it's essentially the Seth Rollins injury from, what was that, 2015?
Okay.
So pretty nasty injury, but apparently happened like midway through the match, so did a lot of stuff in that match.
Adrenaline rushing, jumping off the top turnbuckle too with the camera.
Credit to the guy, definitely, I'd say I'd put him ahead of like... McAfee and Bad Bunny at this point.
Yeah.
As far as celebrity goes, clearly putting in the work and really, really entertaining match. I liked all the kind of bells and whistles with the Usos and stuff. Clearly setting up maybe a Paul Brothers versus the Usos down the line. Obviously that's going to have to be shelved for a while.
Because the injury.
But I think there's also something with him being a celebrity. Sure, it sucks for the guy being injured, but he's a special attraction. So it's not like he'll be missed if he takes 6 months off.
Yeah, it wasn't wrestling on SmackDown.
Because he's not like a regular performer. Obviously, I hope he gets better. But I thought that was probably my match of the night. I enjoyed Bianca and Bayley as well. I'm not big on last man standing matches.
No, I didn't really care for that.
I thought there was some fun stuff in there, but definitely match of the night was the main for me.
Yeah, like Logan Paul definitely is something I wasn't super familiar with him prior to WWE, but coming in, it's like, okay, you clearly put in the work. And I do think him and Jake Paul being natural heels will come into play.
Yeah.
And down the line, I mean, that's just the way things are these days. Like YouTubers and stuff, like we see with the fights and the Silva fight and all that stuff, like that's just how it kind of is now. So if you're not really familiar with them, you get familiar with them, I guess. But I like my interest was there to see the match, but I'm still thinking like, can we now get, it was smart that they did it in Saudi, because imagine someone going to a pay-per-view and that was the,
yeah,
like the ticket you got, yeah, to go to, that you'd be like, oh, why wasn't it, you know, Roman versus whoever. So it's good that they were easy to get it out of the way.
Mm.
You know, like, let's do this, get press for it.
Yeah. And like Saudi has always had, yeah, that kind of weird, like you've had what, like Tyson Fury, you've had Cain Velasquez, you've had Undertaker Goldberg.
Yeah.
You've had these kind of just weird matches.
Really
there.
Weird.
So it does feel like the right place for it. While it's just a little like blip on Roman's map to like his proper story.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah. I mean, all the proper story for when Sammy takes the title off him.
Man. He's so good.
In the chamber in Montreal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I think you could go a few ways. You could do Sammy and Kevin going for the tag titles, but a like chamber, number one contenders chamber, maybe.
Yeah.
With Sammy.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that would be amazing, I think.
At least a hope spot where you
the
think.
Hopes, the hopes, yeah, the Santino.
Or it's Cody. Or,
the,
yeah, Santino, yeah, the Santino one, yeah.
No, but I, like, man, I'd go all the way with him. Like, he's, yeah, it's, you're getting that kind of Daniel Bryan buzz, which we've been saying for years.
Yeah.
Since watching him on NXT, like, it's, this guy could be the next.
He's had a hell of a
Bryan
year, too.
Like, and, like, seeing, even seeing, like, in, like, so, like, Sammy is Syrian descent. Like, his,
right,
parents are Syrian. He does a lot of, like, work for Syrian charities, yeah, and stuff. And obviously there's conflict there with the Saudis and Syria. And that's a big reason why he's not on those shows. Hearing, like, the Saudi crowd cheering, "We Sammy. Want Sammy," I thought was pretty fucking cool,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Like, despite everything and politics and all that, like,
fair,
these guys are like gravitating to him as well,
yeah.
But man, yeah, I'd go with Sammy for sure.
Like, it's either Cody, it's Sammy, or it's CM Punk. Yeah. That's the list now. Von Wagner,
gotta keep Roman strong, you know,
gotta keep Roman strong. It all comes back around. Yeah. I'm super into, like, I checked the weather, it's looking real oozy outside. I'm all about the oozy stuff. That's, they're killing it. I'm not a huge Roman fan when it comes to the wrestling. Although, like I said, this match was really entertaining, and I credit Logan Paul for really bringing it and stuff. But the whole character work with what's going on with the bloodline, that is money, man.
For me, that is what puts, like, wrestling, sure, it is about moves,
yeah,
but it's about the little things as well. And I
for
think
sure.
that's in this latest run. That's the stuff Roman's got down. Even just telling the story in this match about Roman isn't really taking this guy too seriously, hasn't really been training like he would for a proper match because this guy isn't really a wrestler.
Yeah.
Roman's, like, subtle looks, and like in that promo with the Usos when Jay says, "I don't give a damn about the tribal chief," and
right,
just, like, his little looks, it's never over the top, but it tells such a story, and I think that's where he's got really good. And I enjoy his matches. I enjoy Roman's wrestling. I get why he wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea. But I do think it's that kind of stuff that kind of makes him more of a star than other people.
No, definitely. It's like his acting. I could see him going into acting even more so. I know he did that Fast and Furious. But definitely, like, he's really good at that part of it. The actual, like, giving a reason why to care, he's top of that, like, for sure. So, really, really enjoying the Sami Zayn stuff. It's just so funny, and can't wait to see kind of where it goes. Clearly, they're doing a bloodline in the War Games. That poster
so
is
so they've
epic.
Done, yeah. So it's confirmed for the women's, at least. It's 5-on-5. Obviously, we've had 4-on-4s before. We've had 5-on-5s. The women's is going to be 5-on-5, and I assume it would be for the men, which would make me assume that Roman will be in that. And you'd get, you know, Roman, Usos, Solo, and Sammy.
Yeah.
Taken
on. What, Judgment Day? Or I don't know. There's no other teams, right?
It's, yeah, that's where it's like, who is viable enough.
Imperium.
To go, I'd put Owens in there.
Owen, it's just like a mishmash
Owens,
of...
Drew, like all the people he's had beefs with,
I guess,
maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
Owens, Drew, New Day, something like that, maybe.
I mean, speaking of War Games, I mean, they stole it from us because we're NXT and we've been talking about War Games for the past few years. Check out our reviews in the past there, but they're bringing it to the main roster, which we've been saying they needed to do years back. So finally doing that. They're even using War Pigs with Ozzy. You know I'm hype about that. And they're teasing this women's War Games match with a team that has two spots left. And it's the babyface team. And Survivor Series is in Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the writing on the wall?
Sasha's been posting a lot as well recently about, like, you know,
a deal. Yeah, a big deal has come through. Yeah. So is it, hey, if you come back, we'll let you work Stardom.
Yeah.
Right? Like... I'm feeling like there's something going on where they got to treat her like the big star that she is.
But that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
We assume Sasha and Naomi going to be in that match. They've been missed. I think the women's division, they keep on, like, they've just added Mia Yim again. Like,
yeah, sorry. Mia Yim is in the Bullet Club?
Yeah, Mia Yim's in the Bullet Club.
What was going on? It's great. We were big Mia Yim fans, and we were kind of pissed when she was let go. But definitely not where I thought she'd be slotted in. I saw the picture of it joining, and I double took. I'm like, oh, is that Retribution? Oh no, it's the Bullet Club. Okay, got you. Right.
Good for her.
Bullet Club's for life. Did you know Bullet Club's like almost 10 years old now?
Shield's 10 years as well.
Shield, damn.
I feel
Or Bullet Club sense. Longer than that then.
I feel Bullet Club could be even longer than
for
that.
For life.
But yeah, I'm a big Sasha Banks fan. I think this is going to raise Naomi's status as well, who I think has always been in that kind of, she's been floating in that role where everyone's like, oh, I like Naomi, but she's never been like she's never been considered in that class with Charlotte, Bailey, Becky, and I'd probably like put Bianca in there now as well. I think this like absence could make her a bigger deal as well.
Yeah.
No,
that's super awesome. You mentioned Rampage. I know we'll talk about AEW and stuff tomorrow, but we've been going off on how we hate Rampage. We won't watch it if they booked Punk versus whoever. And well, they booked someone that definitely striked our interest. So TK won this round. Well done, because he booked Shibata.
Orange Cassidy with Mike Tyson.
With Mike Tyson. Like, yeah, you know how high I got before watching that? I knew what I was getting in for.
I'm a big, big fan of the Mike Tyson Mysteries, the cartoon. It's basically Scooby-Doo,
but Mike
Reynolds
Tyson.
With Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson in that is basically a big child.
Right.
And I think that's just him in real life.
Yes.
Just listening to him on commentary. He's got such a, genuine, excitement and interest, and just seemed, like,
he
really happy to be there. But, like, just like in the TV show, like, he's changing his opinion. He's like, oh, man, this Shibata kid, like, icon, legend. No one thought he'd come back. I'm all for Shibata. Orange Cassidy's a good-looking kid. I want
Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy. So funny.
He also swore a few times. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I only watched that match.
Match was great as well. Like, I thought it might be a bit of a, you know, no bumps, Orange Cassidy fun match.
Yeah.
But, it was more than that. And I thought Shibata looked great.
The spot where they're sitting down and slapping each other, and then he fucking slaps him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Iconic moment. Definitely. I thought that was great. We'll definitely talk about some...
And the talk is he wanted two matches. He wanted Orange and he wanted Bryan Danielson.
So TK booked a four-way with Sammy Guevara and Danielson and Claudio and Jericho.
Well, we don't know when it'll be next in town, but hopefully that's a match we'll get down the line.
I got so excited when I'm like, really? Well, the pay-per-view's in... We'll do the AEW talk tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. I did watch our friend Eric told me to check out Ospreay versus Naito, and that match rocked as well, man. Definitely would recommend. Ospreay's on just a really crazy run this year. And FTR wrestled in Japan as well, and that means there's some talk. I think Meltzer was talking about how it looks like they're booked for the Tokyo Dome. And people are saying that it's not necessarily Ospreay Kenny, it's Ospreay Mox at the Tokyo Dome as well.
Okay,
so,
interesting.
Yeah, some interesting stuff there. So maybe we'll talk about
that. I finally got around to watching FTR Aussie Open.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which I could see them running back at the Tokyo Dome.
That should be the match at the Tokyo Dome, absolutely.
Bit disappointed they announced the Tag League competitors. I was holding out for Vince and Shane to enter the Tag League, but alas.
Yeah, no.
Alas.
There's probably... The Mighty Don't Kneel are back, though.
They are, yeah.
Classic NXT. Yeah.
If you can't get them at Mans, you can get TM61.
Yeah. Who else would they... They need... Yeah, the tag teams in New Japan are... New Japan's been on a... it was... I still cherry pick it, and we still have New Japan World, and I love New Japan World, so I couldn't say nice things enough about it, because... Ospreay and Naito definitely put on a match, and I'm excited for FTR to wrestle and make things popping over there. Like, why not do it? Wrestle in the dome. That'd be awesome. Well, I guess that's enough talk. It's time for the main event. That's the other show. Sorry, I just stole Mark Henry's line, but it's time to talk about some NXT, the real wrestling product everyone seems to want to talk about these days.
NXT.
Yeah.
And we kick things off NXT November 8th, 2022 from the Capitol Wrestling Center with Joe Gacy versus Cameron Grimes for the last time ever. Gacy coming out with Schism. They've got these kind of Purge-esque light-up masks now with just different quotes and things on them as they come out. And Gacy, for the first time in NXT, working in ring gear. Ditch the pants and
the waiter shirt.
Yeah, so much better.
Yeah, he looks way better. This is how he used to wrestle.
Yeah, and right away for me, it already, the look of Schism now with Ava Rain, they've kind of changed up the entrance a bit with the lighting. I think you mentioned last week about how, like, James Drake and Zach Gibson aren't dressing quite as
alien, Mormon-esque, scary, yeah.
Even more. I think it's a way better look for them.
Yeah, they're the flock.
Yeah, it feels like this Ava Rain thing has changed the group a bit, and just seeing Gacy here wrestle in proper ring gear, as well. He looked more sinister, I thought.
Yeah, he looks...
His, like, body type and the hair.
He's someone... Look, he's someone who's had a, like... Interesting's not the right word, because he's had some just awful stuff this year in NXT, but the issue was never his wrestling. It was this, like, storylines that he was given constantly, specifically the Braun run. So to see him come out here and be treated a bit more, like, serious... Again, you drop the Olive Garden gimmick, and you look like you're in wrestling gear. I'm going to treat that a bit more seriously. And it came across that way, I think.
Yeah. So Grimes catches Gacy early with a Rana and then the big boot in the corner. Gacy hits this nice-looking move, which is like a hip toss into the neck breaker. Looked really good. Gacy also kind of showing a bit more stuff.
Yeah, so you hip toss the guy and then you catch him in a neck breaker. Billy Gunn used to do this move. Yeah,
looked really good. There's a big thrust kick from Grimes sending Gacy to the outside, followed by the PK off the apron. There's then Gacy also hits this back elbow into a backbreaker, which I thought looked pretty cool as well, and then applies the crossface. Now Jagger Reed is getting involved. He's getting up on the apron, but Grimes kicks him off. There's two super kicks from Grimes, followed by a German suplex and the high cross. Now Jagger and Rip get on the apron again and get knocked off by Grimes. Grimes turns around and hits the poison Rana on Gacy, but Gacy rolls the outside before Grimes can hit the cave-in. There's then a Conhilo from Grimes taking out Schism, and now Ava Rain gets on the apron, distracting Cameron Grimes, allowing Gacy to hit the upside down, the handspring lariat, to pick up the win in what I thought was probably Gacy's best match, and I actually thought it was a pretty good opener here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, since coming to WWE, he's not had a lot of memorable matches, and I think this one kind of stands out. Again, he comes here wearing the actual wrestling gear, instantly makes me think, oh, you're an actual wrestler. But there was some, like, good... obviously, we've seen these guys wrestle a few times, and they do have good chemistry. And here it kind of got to show it. Like, it felt like... it was sort of the grudge match where they're being pretty violent with each other, trying to get the job done. But then it was like him putting in like the cross face and then classic interference with the bad guys, but it works. Like bad guys always need their lackeys on the apron and stuff, but even that clothesline looks pretty good too. So I did get into this match. I think you're right. Probably the best match he's had in NXT.
I hope they continue more this route with this group.
Yeah.
I wonder, we did see Grimes on Raw recently. I feel it's time for him to move up.
Yeah, we were fantasy booking. He should have been the one to join the Bullet Club, and I still stand with that. I know they just put Mia Yim in there, but I mean, there's probably he would fit that do the money thing, book it.
Yeah, I think it's his time in NXT. I don't see what else you're going to do,
especially after losing here.
You've had the championship, the North American championship run. We've seen him in the title picture. I can't see him going back there again anytime soon. So I think it's time to move up. And Gacy, I wonder if you could put him kind of facing Wes Lee after this Wes Lee Mello feud is over.
Possibly.
You wonder what he's been with Grimes for so long. You wonder what's next for him. And I would think you want to kind of, now with Ava Rain in the group, you kind of want to keep these as. They've been behind this guy for like quite a while.
So yeah, they've been pushing him.
Wesley, so. I could see the story, you know, his tag partner going and lost soul and all that sort of thing, perhaps. But not bad opener here.
Yeah, I like that clothesline he does too, upside down.
We see Nathan Fraser and Axiom backstage, and Fraser apparently suffered a bit of an injury from the ladder match.
Damn.
And Fraser says, "Well, I said I'd leave it all in the ring, and I meant it." Axiom trusts that he'll be better soon, and this is where JD McDonagh walks in and says that Axiom knows nothing about that four-letter word, pain, and looks at Fraser and says, "Yeah, it looks like your neck is a little tight, which probably means you have a herniated disc." He starts making fun of Axiom, and Axiom says, "Well, I just pulled a JD McDonagh by, you know, always getting so close but not getting the job done. And how about I show you something about that four-letter word, pain?" And that sets up a match tonight between JD McDonagh and Axiom.
Yeah, which should be pretty good. Something tells me they will have good chemistry, but of course they've never wrestled before. Never.
Never.
Because this is Axiom.
Not JD McDonagh and Axiom.
And Axiom have never wrestled before. Two guys who look like them, well, kind of. Maybe if you took that mask off, possibly, because we've talked about it. But yeah, not these two.
Not these two. Get a commercial for SmackDown advertising that World Cup and Usos versus New Day, which I think I'll probably check out this week. And we go to the barbershop.
Hey.
Mello's barbershop. And, you know, Braden, the streets have been talking.
What have the streets been saying?
Well, the streets have been saying that Mello, after not winning the North American Championship, what's next for him? And he goes, "This is the championship I put on the map and made more relevant than the NXT championship. It was the A title. And no one has actually ever pinned me for that championship."
Whoa.
And
Solo Sikoa did, but he wasn't sanctioned in NXT to wrestle. It was the stupidest.
Okay, that's right.
So I mean, it was
heel logic. No one's pinned
it. It was nullified.
It was nullified.
So he is still somewhat lying, but heel logic.
And he actually put some. He says, "I did exactly what I did when Grimes won in the ladder match. I got it right back from him, and I'm going to do that with Wes Lee. But I'm going to put respect on Wes Lee as he went through hell and back to win that thing. But he's never picked me. He's never pinned me." That's where Trick calls him a transitional champion. And
transitional champ and a transitional chump.
And then the barber says, "Well, you've got to give it to Wes Lee. He has the whole NXT universe behind him." And Trick just goes like, "What the hell did you just say, Josh?
Come on, Josh.
Come on, Josh.
Get with it, Josh."
Mello calls Wes a tag wrestler and a crybaby. And everyone knows it's going to be a short title reign. So he's going to give him 2 weeks to enjoy that title, and next week we'll have a contract signing.
I also liked Carmelo's use of that part in this promo. So,
and there were just two girls there chilling. It would keep cutting to them and then
laughing.
Like, oh,
yeah, they were just there. There's just a imagine. Do you do this when you go? I'm bald, so you go to you get your haircut. Is there just
I always
a posse?
Say random girls to
yeah. Hey, you want to come hang out? I'm getting my haircut.
Yeah. They clearly listened to us last week talking about all these NXT locations. Right. Because we go to the pub later as well.
Yeah, we go to the barbershop, the pub.
I do like this setting. I think this is, and I think it shows off Trick and Mello's chemistry pretty well. They bounce off each other nicely.
Only gripe, you know, we sing the praises of Carmelo and the combo of Trick being the mouthpiece as well, the side mouthpiece. But I think that my only gripe was this one was too soft. They didn't have any like real.
He was too nice to Wes.
Yeah, they didn't have any jabs. He didn't like make fun of him. I think Carmelo needs to be a little. He acts like he's this like ruthless guy, but he never really says anything too mean.
Is that him maybe turning a bit more babyface?
I mean, people
we haven't really heard him being like giving respect to people before.
Yeah,
so it could be a slight transition.
I'm still like, I mean, we're going to this match in 2 weeks. They said the contract signings next week, but I mean. He would still be my best bet to be the deadline opponent for Braun, but I'm not sure how you would spin that if Sean's announcing something next week, and then if he loses this match, it's like, how do you jump from that to the other title? So I still think he could be – he's a bigger draw for me than putting Apollo Crews in that match or whatever. But, I still like this, and I think that match will be awesome, Wes and Carmelo.
Yeah.
One-on-one, like for real this time, title on the line. This is exactly what we've been wanting for a while.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
We then go to the arena where on the video screen, there's some dialogue from Scripps.
Scripps.
Basically saying that he will come soon.
And what?
And watch NXT full. And sincerely, Scripts. I didn't quite catch all of this.
It was a lot of writing, almost like a novel on the screens and stuff. But yeah, a very, like I said, the Watcher, very like.
I imagine Deadline is the.
I guess that's a long time. That's still a month away.
A month of Scripts.
A month of Scripts.
But switching it up, didn't call the Performance Center hotline this time around.
Good. But yeah.
Tapped into the Tron.
He should just get verified on Twitter for $8 and then start tweeting.
Yeah.
Like anonymously or something.
He writes more than 140 characters though. This
True. Time. There was a lot of characters. So a lot of characters on this show. I'm still like, there's not enough to give it hints of who I think it could necessarily be.
I have
be.
A clue who this could be.
Yeah. Like last week we were saying it's probably some of the NXT UK people, maybe someone kicking around there, but there's maybe someone new that we don't know. But as like the days of someone sitting in the crowd at a takeover or like big indie signings, I don't think it's
Nicholas.
Oh, God, I really hope not, to be
honest. You've heard about all that stuff going on?
Yeah, I could care less. I think that guy is so meh.
Like, you could or you couldn't care?
I could not care less, no. Yeah. Nick Aldis.
We go to our next match. Sol Ruka taking on the returning Electra Lopez.
You know what Sol Ruka needs? Like, you're talking about different locations. Mm. She needs, like, her beach, like, the shack, like, on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, her wax shop, her board shop or whatever, and she just, like, cuts loose and, like, talks.
I think I'd like that.
Yeah,
like that.
It could give her some character.
Electra with a whole new entrance, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, a sort of fashion entrance. It had, like, this bell that went at the beginning, and this kind of screens open up, and wearing this big fur jacket.
Yeah, it was
seemed
different.
Like a fashionista.
It was
kind
cool,
of
yeah.
Electra goes for a kick and to the gut, and Ruka's meant to catch her, but kind of slipped and didn't catch the foot there. Ruka flips out of a hip toss and hits an X Factor. Lopez then comes back with a big clothesline on the floor to take the advantage. There's some roll-up attempts from Ruka, and followed by a clothesline and drop kick, and then a big shoulder block from Ruka. But then as she climbs to the top, Lopez just drags her off and hits the Baldo bomb, the sit-out double choke slam bomb.
Yeah, the high-low, the sky-high, whatever.
Yeah.
Like a sit-out choke buster bomb.
Yeah.
And gets the win here. I was missing her Blue Thunder Bomb, which she does pretty well, but this looked pretty nice too. Yeah, what did I used to call her? Carmen Electra Lopez?
Yep.
I just almost did it again. Throwback. She looked good and dominating. It's kind of what we need to do right now to kind of establish herself before maybe becoming the next baddie for our next babyface champion kind of down the line. But Sol Ruka, unfortunately, like she came in here, won a match, and then didn't really do much afterwards. And here just being complete enhancement talent to her. But, she's new here.
That's fine.
She's new and young and stuff.
But I think she comes across a bit clumsy. Like her flip stuff looks cool. But when it comes to the actual like basics and fundamentals, she looks a bit clumsy, I think. Lopez isn't great, but I thought her aggression came through in this and looked a bit better if she can like work more on that. Be more of a brawler.
Yeah, almost, the meaner side of her works well, we've seen in the past. I love Sol Ruka's like, have you seen the leaked pictures from the Barbie movie with that's what she was wearing here without the roller skates.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like that. The like neon colors and stuff. Looked good.
Yeah, it looked good.
I'm excited about that movie.
After the match, Indy Hartwell attacks Electra Lopez to get payback from the other week.
So I'm so confused. So Electra Lopez is a heel. Indy Hartwell is kind of now a heel and attacks Lopez in a heelish way. So it's just like all these people who are just not nice people.
Well, Indy's been more like a... She's been like a pissed off baby face, hasn't she?
I guess, yeah.
But I mean, this was... getting payback. It wasn't out of nowhere.
Sure.
Like, Elektra did attack her.
Fair enough.
We go to Chase U, where Thea Hale is getting all worked up as Andre Chase is about to face Charlie Dempsey. And she says that last week, Dempsey showed how much of a coward he is when he attacked Andre Chase. She does a scrappy-do. Let me at him, let me at him.
Let me at him.
And Duke says, Mr. Chase, last week when you sent me to the back, that was a teachable moment. And I want to be out there with Thea tonight to show support and only support. I've learnt my lesson. And he said, Charlie Dempsey spat in the face of everyone who has worn this great Chase U jersey. And you've beat him before and you'll beat him again. And Andre Chase says, yeah, I'll teach that son of a bitch a lesson. Chase U.
Chase U.
Chase U. As Duke picks up the flag. I like these guys. I love Duke in this role.
You just like this, like, university...
Love it. I think it's one of those, like... It's a gimmick they started at the beginning of 2.0, and they've kind of kept with it. And I think people as, like, a mid-card act, I think they're pretty fun.
Sure.
And I think people warm to them. We see Mandy and JC Jane on the phone.
Oh,
we've seen their, like, toxic...
FaceTimes.
Chats, FaceTimes.
Toxic FaceTimes.
Toxic chats, yeah.
Most FaceTimes can be toxic.
Yeah. And JC is nervous about going to the arena because of the fire girl. And
she threatened her last week.
She threatened her. And apparently Gigi has 3 cracked ribs.
Whoa.
And she's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to go. And Mandy's like, yeah, don't go. Alba can just wait all night for you. And Mandy says, in fact, just come over. Come over to mine. We'll hang out by the pool. And this is where we see some orange flashing lights behind her. She's like, I've just been pulled over.
Ah, shit.
And the door opens and Alba Fire drags JC Jane out. I mean, if JC wore a seatbelt, this would be a lot harder to do. And just lock the door.
And then it takes the camera.
And then takes the camera. And then the graphic on the screen changes from JC Jane to Alba Fire. And it's all Alba, it's all fire and stuff. And then she goes, I told you I would take you out one by one. And it cuts to JC, who's just dead. Dead in the middle of
murdered
the road.
Murdered in the street. Cold blood.
And Mandy's trying to talk, but she's been placed on mute. And Alba warns her that next week, I'm going to take you out. I think when you're at work...
Yeah.
At your wrestling work job,
yeah,
it's fair game. As anything goes,
right.
You can attack people. Even we've established
lot.
Even the parking lot is kind of fair game. In the middle of like just having a drive,
yeah,
dragging you out of the car and murdering you, I think
yeah, but you're forgetting something. It's Florida. This is normal. You mean let's look at her rap sheet here, first of all, Alba Fire. First of all, had a haunted house that then like hired a bunch of people to attack your like opponents. That was just wasn't anywhere at work. That was just some random haunted house. Let's move on to tonight where she not only impersonated an officer,
yeah,
to pull this girl over.
Didn't even use blue lights.
Not even blue lights. It's just like some like flashing shit one. Probably that app. Remember iPhone touches or whatever? iPod touches. You could do the siren app or whatever. Probably just that. And then to attack someone. This is basically Grand Theft Auto here. Pulling her out of the car, beating her up. Like, she's still the Range Rover again too? Like, this is assault, brother.
I mean, I think Alba Fire, she lost once against Mandy. She disappeared. Discovered she likes fire and changed her name, came back, lost against Mandy, again.
Yeah.
And she's just so mad at Toxic Attraction because I guess her thinking is, they robbed me.
Yeah.
Get some friends then, yeah. Alba.
Get
stop
like
murdering people.
Aaron Water.
Like, I kind of feel like
Becky Electricity.
How are you the yeah?
Get all the elements and beat this Toxic Attraction once and for all.
Yeah. How are you the babyface here? You're just attacking this champion's friend. You haven't got the job done. You've had your chances. You haven't got it done. Go play with fire somewhere else.
Honestly, like, if you're all about fire and you don't know how to beat this girl, maybe just try lighting her on fire. Like, that's not... The writing's on the wall there. Just light her on fire and maybe you'll beat her.
Well, it's... They're having a last woman standing match.
Is that what they're saying it is now?
Stipulation. So maybe that's when she'll set her on fire.
Please.
You should call up Randy. Be like, yo, I saw you kill the fiend.
I saw you do that one time with the fire.
How did you do that? And he's like, empty arena. It's kind of tricky these days.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to do it, but like it has to come down to this. Stop teasing everyone and Alba Fire needs to light Mandy Rose on fire.
But I mean, do you see like so the idea is she's taken out both Gigi and JC, so it's now finally a fair one-on-one match.
Right.
Could you see Sonya?
Yeah, I was going to say she's forgetting about Sonya or like yeah. That'd be really funny.
Yeah, because like, I don't see Mandy losing to Alba Fire
at this point. Like, just yeah, get it off her. At this, I don't care. This is definitely so funny.
No, I've turned the corner. She should be champion forever.
Two more years.
Yeah,
yeah. Fuck two it. More years. Why not?
She's the greatest women's wrestler alive today.
No one else is Booker on her T. level. Yeah, Booker T loves her. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this was funny. This was nowhere near when it comes to Grand Theft Auto type segments in my wrestling, it's nowhere near the level of Edge pretending to be Ric Flair in the segment. He pulls a guy out of the car and puts him in the figure four. So it's one of my favorites, but it wasn't on that level.
Uh-huh.
Also, like she took out Gigi, she took out Thing. So like you're assuming that someone interacts in this because it's no DQ,
well,
right?
Randy wins fair and square.
I guess hits that knee that looks so damn good.
Yeah,
and
puts down for 10.
Book it.
Yeah. We go to Andre Chase versus Charlie Dempsey. I was kind of hoping after seeing Gacy in ring gear that Chase would finally wear some ring gear, but no. Alas. Chase monkey flips Dempsey and sends him out the ring, then gets him in this like nice front chancery and keeps on doing these roll-throughs while holding him in this lock. But this gets countered into a Northern Light suplex from Dempsey while Chase is still holding on this front chancery. I thought it looked quite nice. Dempsey then transitions that into a Kimura, but Chase rolls him up for a two count. Chase then starts delivering some jabs and hits the side Russian leg sweep into the Chase U stomps. Give me a C, give me an H. And then there's a full Nelson attempt, but Dempsey counters this into like an ankle pick and then locks in this. It kind of looked like what, like a modified STF crossface kind of
regal stretch.
Oh, of course. Yeah, my bad. The regal stretch. And Thea is jumping around waving a towel like to try and motivate Chase.
Rally.
But Chase is fading and Duke looks torn and grabs the towel and fails to throw it into the ring the first time. He gets caught up on the rope, so grabs it, points at the ref, throws the towel in, and yeah, forfeits for Chase, for his professor. Didn't want to see him lose here.
Again, Duke being kind of teeter-tottering of, do we know he's helping university?
Is he doing it out of love and care, or is he like, I'm fucking with this guy?
Yeah, I will say Dempsey is put in a, like kind of a weird position. It's like he's being brought in this way, which is cool. They're not using the regal thing. They're not mentioning this really that he is. He looks like Pete Dunne, but he's William Regal's son.
He looks
son.
Great. He looks mean.
He looks good. It's so funny that William Regal is not in WWE, but his son still is. Mm. And like Regal's got a storyline where he's like getting all these wrestlers.
Where his dad?
And, like, yeah, he's dad. And his own son is not in that group.
I think that's good, though. I think it's good for Dempsey to... I think he's good enough to make it on his own. And then you can always put them together when
they'll do that.
When
they'll change his
thing.
Name too, I think, to Regal something Regal. I think he looks great. I mean, he seems really young, but just from glimpses, I see some stuff for sure.
Yeah, and he does remind me of young Pete Dunne.
Yeah,
he's
he does
got that meanness, which is really rare for someone his age. Again, I like Andre Chase. I thought the wrestling here between these two was really nice. I just, broken record, but change the gear. It makes Dempsey look worse, I think, because Chase looks like a comedy wrestler.
Yeah.
And when you go in, actually nice, like, Matt wrestling here, hold for hold, it look makes Dempsey look like a bit of a geek for having this guy getting one over on him.
No,
at time.
Yeah.
So just change the look, but I actually thought the wrestling here was pretty strong between the two.
And I guess we'll see where the storyline goes with Duke and Chase U.
Yeah, after the match, Andre Chase was confused. He's like, what happened?
Yeah. Was he mad?
Like, oh, I lost. But Duke was looking concerned. So that's something you'll play up as well.
Is this all a ploy? Is Duke tricking him?
I hope not. I hope he's just turned a new leaf. But Duke, that's what Vic was saying. It's like, don't trust Duke Hudson.
Duke is just going to turn on Chase U and then go, you know, there's only one university for me, Duke. That's what he's got to do. I like the fact that Duke's got something to do. So I support Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6'5", baby.
All right. Well, we see Indy Hartwell, who's being interviewed by Mackenzie. And she says, what you saw tonight is me finally realizing how this place works. Elektra came back to NXT trying to prove a point, but no one is proving a point on me. And she can do that shit to Sol Ruka, but not to me. And you can't count on anyone. You have to take what you want. And you know that saying, bet on yourself. Well, I'm putting everything I have on me.
Damn.
Yeah.
Some strong words.
So, bit of a weird story, because she's kind of... It's not like she's been a Roxy or a Wendy or whoever, where you've had your friends turn on her. Her friend just became a mum.
Yeah.
And her other one got fired. Like,
her other guy's busy
being paid by Miz to
do stuff.
Stalk him. Yeah.
Jason Smiley.
But whatever, I think it's... Indy needed some sort of change up. So,
yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
It's happy hour at,
woo!
At the Henley Bar.
Yeah. Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah. And you got Briggs, Jensen, Fallon, no other customers are ever at this place.
Yeah, I'd
go to this bar.
I've been to some bars in Florida and outside Orlando here, and this looked like it was not the happening place.
But, like, I like a good dive bar. Like,
yeah,
it's got a lovely bartender there. There's some pool tables, some darts, peanuts, apparently.
Jukebox.
Like, why are they not? They should just hire some PC people to...
Why were there no one else at this bar?
Even some people there.
The barbershop had more people.
Because it made Kiana James's thing here be like, yo, look.
Maybe she's right.
Place, yeah,
sucks.
100%.
This place sucks. Yeah.
So, and this is happy hour. You think happy hour should be bumping.
Yeah, we need to make happy hour more of a thing in Canada.
I enjoyed happy hour way too much last night.
Like, I feel like it's such a bigger thing in the States, but here in Canada, it's like not so much.
So the laws have recently changed here.
Gotcha.
Like, allowing. So we might see more
happy hours
happening. Because
happy hour.
The law was you couldn't change, or at least in Ontario, you couldn't change the price more than once in a day.
Right.
That's quietly gone. So you've now seen that place Black Pearl, their happy hour is $4 between 4 and 5, $5 between 5 and 6, $6, things like that.
Cool.
So we might start seeing more.
Nice. Yeah, we need more happy hour. I mean, happy hour...
the cost of everything is just fucking stupid here now.
Yeah, it really is. But happy hour in the States, that's what brings so many people in. If you go, hey, from 5 to 8, it's going to be, or 4 to 7, it's going to be half price drinks. Everywhere in the States, that's when it's bumping. And here at Fallon's Bar... it's dead. There's just those three.
To be fair, it's that week where it's Halloween has just happened.
Yeah.
We've all paid our rent beginning of the month. It's okay, we'll chill for a bit. Weather's turning.
Yeah.
A little cooler. So maybe it's just because my work's been quiet this week.
Quitters.
But Fallon, sort it out. So Kiana James walks in with Jean or G. We're still not sure.
You convinced me this person's name is Jean, Mean Jean. Let me tell you something, Mean Jean. And then after doing some journalistic research, it's G. It's J. It's G H I. So G, not Jean.
G H I.
I think it's G H I. Like G, but G.
G.
So NXT. They never really say her name. On
Jean makes more sense.
Jean.
Oh, G short for Giovanna.
Giovanna, yeah.
Okay.
Giovanna. I feel like we've done this already. We're in a groundhog.
G, who does jujitsu.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's... I'll go through this Groundhog Day every week for
G.
For Gene.
You had to watch this episode of NXT every day for the rest of your life?
This was a good one, to be fair. Of the NXTs in recent years, this wasn't a bad episode. So Kiana James walks in with Jiu-Jitsu G, and Briggs is kind of elbowing Brooks to keep his eyes up because he's looking at their boobs.
And then he goes, "Hola, amigas." I say this every time someone enters the room.
And Kiana says, "We haven't come to drink. We've come to talk business. And I've given you your proposal." And Fallon says, "Look, I looked over your proposal, and I'm sorry, but it's a no." And Kiana says, "Look, I see real potential in the property here. And I think I made you a really nice offer here." And Fallon says, "It's a nice offer, but this place isn't for sale. I have too many happy memories here. This is my family's bar." And Brooks is just like enamored by this girl, and it's just like, "Yeah, give her the fucking
pub. Yeah, give her the pub.
And she says, "I used to sit at the end of the bar cracking peanuts with my granddad. I played pool with my uncle and danced with my dad every Thursday because it was pool night or dance night."
Man.
And Kiana says, "Look, well, I can make an apartment complex here and give all your family a place in this complex where you can live happily for the rest of your life." And Fallon turns down the offer, and then Kiana turns and she's like, "Well, you can be fucking broke for the rest of your life, bitch."
She says, "We'll be back.
We'll be back."
Yeah, don't worry.
So I think we're going to have a match for the ownership of the bar, and I'm totally down for this.
Oh, man. First of all, Fallon Henley, what was her name before? Something
Tesla Price.
Yeah, she is fantastic. But what I didn't like is her talking about how the history of the bar, like going into cracking peanuts with grandpa. Like, if in the one in a millionth chance that she's talking some sort of truth in here, like, didn't showcase anything, because it's just a shot of them at some bar with no one else in it, and then random shots of what might not even be the bar that they shot, like stock footage of.
But no, that doesn't that make more sense? You're less likely to want to sell if it's like a,
of course,
a nostalgic reason. I just like sentimental yeah. value.
I just found
even if it's failing as a business.
Yeah, I just found that so goofy and so hokey that like it definitely like made me go, "This is more." It's obviously ridiculous, but I think you just needed to do what you said earlier. They should have had a fun happening bar popping off. Everyone goes here. It's great. People playing darts, all this stuff, and then they come in and say, "Hey, we want to buy this bar." And Fallon goes, "No, like I serve this community. This is, you know, there's." You know, Jim over there, yeah, who comes every day and needs his Coors Light. And here's this. Like,
yeah,
you didn't need to lie and go like, "Well, I cracked peanuts at this, like, fucking, what bar is this?" This is, you never even showed us what the bar looked like.
Yeah.
So, like, it just, like, it, the little things could have made it, like, so much. But I guess because it's an empty bar, that's why Kiana's got her sights
on
it.
We need to campaign to get people to go
to this bar. We need to go to this bar. Tuesday, where is this bar? Is this going to be like Cheers? Everyone wants to go to the bar from Cheers, and then when you get there, they're like, "Oh, it's not the bar from Cheers at all." So that's what it would be like.
I guess.
I love storyline about a bar, but I was expecting, because earlier in the episode, they were like, "Oh, there's someone's going to show up at the bar." So I was like, is it JBL? Is it like... And is it APA? Like, who's showing up to the bar? And then the story, I was like, oh, yeah, the storyline's going on.
So, and we haven't had any follow-up about whether she's still after Chase U as well.
She definitely dropped that when the Duke storyline happening. So yeah, maybe Duke's, I figured Duke was working for her.
Maybe. Oh, that could be the thing, couldn't it?
So then she buys the Chase U campus. She buys Fallon's bar.
Duke versus Chase for the uni. And... and just she's just building apartment complexes for these wrestlers that are moving to Florida.
Yeah, it's
a real wrestle house, isn't it? She's building.
She wants to build these apartments in Orlando because she doesn't want all these wrestlers living together anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
You need your own place. You need your own condos down here. In
I want to move to Kiana's condo.
Me too. Is G going to be there?
Oh yeah.
Shout out Gene.
We go next to Hank Walker.
Oh yeah,
taking on Channing Stax Lorenzo.
Channing
coming out with Tony D, who's been on every week pretty much since his injury, so yeah, keeping him around. There's some big punches and a beel from Hank. Stax then leaps over Hank and hits this corkscrew uppercut. Stax does a quite nice leg takedown, starts delivering elbows to the back, then knees to the head, and Stax just taking it to him now, only for a two count though. And then Hank comes back with the clothesline and the Luthez press, and then runs into a boot from Stax, but Hank hits the pounce and his shirt comes off. Feel like he dresses like John Goodman, doesn't he, this shirt?
Yeah, this match was basically Christopher from Sopranos versus John Goodman from Roseanne.
Yeah.
My brain was like, what's going on?
And hits the splash in the corner, and then does, you know how like Devlin does the wrist control, like pull up into the Saito? Hank did this into like a slam, like pulled Stax up from the mat, which I thought looked quite nice. And then Stax slaps Hank, and this works up Hank, who starts getting in his face, but Stax hits the thumb to the eye and then does a stomp, like the Seth stomp, but with a knee to the back of the head, which I thought looked quite nice.
Yeah.
And Stax picking up the win here.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, they've in recent weeks, they've been like putting quite a bit behind Stax, and I think he shows, I kind of like his aggression, and I think he shows some promise, this guy.
For sure. There's definitely some wrestling there that, like, this guy is what we assume is pretty green. He came in as a lackey for Tony D, and now being put into this position, still having Tony D to kind of connect the dots of the character and why he's dressed the way he is and stuff. But I think the Tony D thing is kind of ran its course. The injury obviously putting him like a sleeping with the fishes, dead in the water there. But I think Stax showing a bit of wrestling in these matches as of late could possibly, like, you know, like we said, like wear actual wrestling gear and people might take you a bit more seriously, because some of the wrestling is connecting for sure. And he seems pretty young. So, I mean, there's still a lot you could like mold into not just being some Sopranos character on NXT, because there is some showcase. And same with Hank. I mean, he's the guy, the security guy, like, everyday guy, right? The blue collar.
It was probably his best showing, I thought. He's still like, the character is great, but the wrestling just isn't, that much there yet.
I just don't know why he wears what he wears.
It's a lot of these people. It's like, okay, we get what your character is,
yeah,
but you can change. You can,
yeah,
you can wear different clothes,
really,
when you
weird
wrestle.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is strange.
Love Hank. Love Stax.
We go to the Grayson Waller effect.
Is that the name of his TV show?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Is that also the name of his finisher?
Yes.
Is that also the name
of... Yes. Yes to all the above. And Waller starts by mocking Truth. He's like, everyone at home watching, including R-Truth, who's nursing his injury.
Man, yeah. For anyone wondering, I saw today, I think it was Fightful reported that... it was R-Truth as well who was tweeting about... his injury from last week, man. He had a quad tendon tear in that spot that we watched last week, that where we noticed he was clutching his leg. So poor guy. So all the love to R-Truth.
He's someone I can't remember actually having a whole load of injuries. Has he?
I can't recall.
Like, no. For someone who's been around for as long as he has, he's been pretty injury free from what I remember.
Yeah. I mean, shout out R-Truth. What an absolute legend.
Had a rough week because got injured, and then Nikki Cross threw away the 24/7 title.
It's a real bad week for
R-Truth. Real bad week.
Injured and not even there to be the last.
57-time champion.
57-time.
Wasn't even the last champ.
If I was him, I'd have 57 replica 24/7 titles all around this room.
He should, once he's back from his injury,
yes,
just find,
yes,
like, walk past a trash can.
No.
And, like, take it out.
He should just start trying to pin people, and they'll be like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, the 24/7 title. I don't know who's the champ. I'm trying to find it. And it's like, yeah, it's gone. Oh, I forgot. I have, in honor of R-Truth, I have a question for you. What's up? I want R-Truth on NXT when he comes back.
More often, yeah.
Yeah, I liked seeing him in the little bits that he did. And it was kind of shitty to see someone come in and get injured. But fortunately, it worked for Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
It makes him be like, yeah, He got injured. He's a dick anyways, yeah. Right? So it really works.
So it's a sit down with Von Wagner and Bron Breakker, and it's been confirmed they're facing each other for the title next week.
You know, I was frothing at the mouth when they said Von Wagner's going to be in a sit down talking live segment.
Bron v. Von. Yeah. Waller says that because he's got all his like Instagram Live comments.
He's on Instagram Live. Yeah, all that shit.
And he says a lot of the NXT universe are saying that Von doesn't really deserve a shot. Like he didn't win that ladder match for the NXT North American title. And he says a lot of people are saying Melo should be in this position because he's like been the guy for quite a while. Yeah. And Von says, who said that? Joe Blow? Well, I guess Joe Blow thinks he runs NXT now. And Robert Stone starts to speak and says that people are jealous of Von. He's a once-in-a-lifetime performer. Once-in-a-lifetime performer. And Von says, I'm not here to be popular. I'm here for one thing and one thing only. That title. And I left you lying last week. And next week, I'll leave you lying too. He's fantastic.
Oh, man. I mean, every Tuesday with Von Wagner is come Tuesday. Yeah. So him saying, who said that? Joe Blow. And then when he's like, listen, last week, Braun, I laid you down in the middle of the ring. And listen here, buddy, old pal. Gonna do the same thing. Oh, man. He's so great. Unironically, whatever the right saying is, he's the best.
Yeah.
I've been telling you all, Von Wagner, get on the train while it's you know.
I will early. Say he, this look here in the suit and everything, he looks way better. Mic work. Anyway, man.
Well, that matches next week, right?
Yeah.
We may not be calling him NXT champion, but it doesn't matter because Von Wagner wrestling on main event this week.
Oh.
So we might lose him.
We'll see.
I don't know what we're going to do if we lose Von Wagner. The main roster isn't ready for Von Wagner.
Well, Bron says that statistically on paper, it does look like a good matchup. But if you want this, you attack me from behind. That was cowardly. And Waller shows a tweet that says, I'm ready to see anyone beat Bron Breakker. And Bron says, if it's not Von, I can think of someone... Oh, no, sorry. Waller says, and if it's not Von who beats him, I can think of someone way more handsome who could beat you. But that's going to be down the line. So Waller kind of putting in his claim for the title as well.
How dare he make fun of Von?
Yeah.
Handsome man.
Bron says, NXT is all about the future. And a year ago, that was me. And now people are wanting to see who's next. But he learned from Ciampa that if you want something, you've got to go and take it. And he said there are great champions like Seth, Nakamura, and Owens who are all in the same spot I'm in. And says, JD McDonough's breathing thing down my neck. And Apollo wants a shot too. And says, yeah, Apollo, I said your name. You happy? Because Apollo bringing up last week that he hasn't really mentioned him. But he says, no one is taking me this away from me. Von says, well, I'm going to be the one who takes it. And Stone starts to speak. Von tells him to shut up. And he says, the first night I was here, I got a title shot. And Pete Dunne, who was it? Ciampa and LA Knight all had to gang up to take me out. And he goes, you go on about your second generation. Well, I'm second generation too. Except I didn't use it to get in any stroke because no one knows who my fucking dad is. and says, I won't stop at anything as you're Googling who Von Wagner's dad is.
Yeah, I'm searching it right now.
He says, I won't stop at anything to rip that title off your shoulder. And Bron says, well, how about you try it now? And they both stare each other down. Robert Stone starts yelling, so Bron just smashes his head against the desk. We have a stare down just to end the segment here.
Damn.
So Bron v. Von next week.
Bron Von, 3,000 next week.
My favorite line here was Bron, no one is taking away this from me. Von goes, I'm going to take that away from you.
My favorite was Buddy Old Pal.
Oh, Buddy Old Pal.
Very Dumb and Dumber there. Good stuff. Yeah.
Bron's fine in it. Like, I think Bron is very comfortable.
Actually, yeah. Bron seems way more comfortable in scenarios like this. Because when you're going against Braun, usually lately the crowd kind of sides with the cooler, like not the you know, baby face in the thing in the chase, right? That's what's interesting. But Vaughn is just this kind of blah character that the crowd that go every week don't really care for. So it made Braun stand out, like, kind of. There were people booing Braun, but like, it still, he comes across way more cool in this kind of thing.
Had a cool jacket on.
Oh, it was his dad's jacket.
Yeah.
It was a classic Rick Steiner jacket. Oh, man, he used to wear this one all the time. It was awesome. He should rock this jacket all the time. It looks really cool. Fantastic. I wonder if Vaughn should rock any of his dad's gear. Wayne Bloom, also known as Bo Beverly from the Beverly Brothers.
Oh,
so
okay.
The Steiners and the Beverly Brothers have had some matches in the feuds and stuff. So it is.
Wasn't that last week? It was Wes and Braun against the Beverly Brothers, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty deadly. He is also second generation.
Okay.
I remember talking about it when he first came into WWE, and then we were like, oh, he's part of, he's related to that, but yeah.
I don't mind the idea of this segment, like just building up a quick 2-week title program and having this. It did elevate it. I think Vaughn is kind of funny.
Vaughn for champ.
To watch, but
yeah.
Yeah, like next week's actually looks kind of stacked. You've got two title matches. And what was the other one they announced for next week? It was JD McDonagh against someone, I think.
I will say...
Apollo versus JD next week as well.
I will say for Waller, like, he's got, like, tickers and stuff that go around, and it's all, like, fake Twitter things, like Elon Musk bots or whatever, because it'll be, like, Grayson Waller fan 333, like, Roman fears Waller, or things like that, like, throughout the whole thing. It was pretty funny.
We see Wes Lee backstage, who says, Mello is right, I never pinned him, and in March this year, I thought my career was almost over. He says, I'm a tag wrestler, I've always been a tag wrestler, and wasn't ever supposed to hold singles gold, but here I am, and I'm on a roll like butter, and not even Mello can stop him.
Damn.
We also get a video package just kind of highlighting the Wendy Chu and Cora Jade feud. And Cora says that Wendy has a friend complex where all her friends end up turning against her, and says, you'll always be on the outside looking in. And next time, if you want to make a friend at my expense, think twice about it.
Obviously, yeah.
Chu kind of siding with Valentina last week on the beatdown.
Yeah. Wendy Chu also wrestling, I think, on Superstars or Main Event or something there. So interesting. Okay. But yeah. Wendy Chu, good wrestler, but the gimmick has kind of run its course a little bit here, so not too excited about this feud.
We see Apollo Crews in Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah, what?
Who says he's out helping the WWE search for the next African superstar. They're talent scouting. And he says, when it's the search for the next NXT champion, you don't have to look far. The next NXT champion is right here.
Damn.
So yeah, I feel... I don't think they made it official, but it seems like JD and Apollo is kind of a maybe unofficial number one contenders match.
I think so. Yeah.
That match sounds pretty good.
That match sounds great.
JD's been on a roll.
I don't want Apollo to win this match. It makes sense that he wins this match, but I don't. How cool is it that they're doing like talent scouting and all this thing like all across the world? I saw Omos over there, like what with like family members and stuff. Like,
damn,
that's fucking awesome, man. I think that is so good. They should do that. Like, send Sammy and Kevin Owens to Montreal, do a Canadian tryout.
Well, I mean,
send like, you know, send some native people from where they're from to where
the
they're
thing
from.
Is they always do the Europe tour like twice a year, don't they?
Yeah.
So they're regularly doing tryouts in the UK and Germany and that kind of thing. Same with coming to Toronto. They'll always do tryouts here in Montreal when they visit there. But they're not, the WWE aren't going to Nigeria for house shows on a tour, are they? So sending to there and like, I guess,
pretty cool.
Like China and India and those kind of places.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Why not?
I feel they should shoot more stuff about this.
I think
stuff on the website.
Yeah, there was some stuff with Omos and Apollo I did see today, but I didn't watch all the clips. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
We go to our next match of the night. JD McDonagh taking on Axiom. Really fast start to this match with headlock takedowns, and there's a head scissors from McDonagh, which Axiom flips and bridges out of. Axiom then goes for a flying kick, and McDonagh just sort of evades it, just steps back, which looked pretty cool. During the commercial, JD drop kicks the ring steps into Axiom's knee.
I mean, this is after jumping over them and then kicking them. Like, yeah. This was very... There was some pretty impressive athleticism from both guys all through the match.
So now Axiom's kind of favoring the knee throughout the match. Butt delivers this beautiful drop kick in the ring and then just runs and springs to the top rope and immediately comes off with this beautiful, like, Urihara moonsault to the floor.
Nuts, man.
Look crazy. But then... From the landing, it's kind of clutching at his knee again.
I mean, this moonsault's nuts. This is where you jump up and then with no hands, you're jumping, clearing the ropes, and then twisting your body in midair to then use the top rope to kick off of to do a moonsault. Kenny Omega does this move a lot of times, but this guy did it picture perfect here. Awesome. Axiom is Liddy. This was great.
He then gets even more Liddy as he does a, like, Arabian moonsault over JD into this body scissors. Essentially, he kept on going for, like, the Taz mission.
He goes for the choke,
Essentially, the legs body scissoring with the choke look really good, this transition into it. JD gets out of it and tries to apply Boston Crab, but Axiom's kicking him in the face. Gets the crab locked in, but Axiom makes it to the ropes. And then JD, showing off his boxing, just hits this kind of KO punch to Axiom, goes up to the top and goes for a moonsault, which gets caught into a triangle hold from Axiom.
Beautiful.
Looked great. JD counters this into a powerbomb, but the powerbomb gets countered into a snap Rana.
Yeah, very Rey Mysterio-esque here, yeah.
Axiom follows up with a PK, and then Axiom leaps and catches JD again midair in the Taz mission, and then JD gets out of that and just targets the leg, and I don't know really what to call this move. He just bends the leg back and bends it in a way it shouldn't really bend.
Okay, it's like a Boston crab, but then goes deep on it. So
like
that
a single.
Yeah, the single leg, like the maple leaf there, and then like really bending it back, but then the way your leg can't touch the other... It can't go the other way, but he makes it go the other way so that the leg is almost
touching
the ground and the mat bending. This looked gross. Booker T on commentary was fantastic here, giving him his flowers, because he was like, did I just hear something pop?
Yeah.
His knee just popped. Come on, stop the match. What's going on? And it got me hyped, because that's what we were thinking. We were like, work or not, that should be the finish of this match, because it looked deadly. It reminded me of Beth Phoenix and using Melina's own foot to beat herself in the head with it in the Boston Crab one time. It looked like scarier than that. It was deadly.
So the ref pulls JD off of him as the doctors come in and start checking on JD. Sorry, on Axiom.
On Axiom.
And eventually the ref calls for the bell.
He keeps going, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do?
This was my one gripe. I thought the finish was great. We're now establishing JD McDonagh has... like referee stoppages at the finish, which I think's awesome. I don't like... The ref shouldn't be pulling someone off of a submission.
Right.
If you pull someone off,
it's over.
Should call the bell.
Yeah,
It's... If you're worried for the safety of the wrestler...
Yeah.
Like, that's how boxing and UFC works, isn't it? Like, as soon as... No, it's done. It's done. So I didn't kind of like the... I didn't really like the stuff with the doctors checking on him and, oh, is he good to go? Is he good to go? No, you just... He won.
He's over.
You've called it off. Apart from that, another really, really great match from JD McDonagh here.
I think,
and Axiom, like I thought this was very good.
Yeah, I mean, look, the storyline is that JD McDonagh is a weirdo and likes hurting people. Mm. And in the promo earlier, is like, I'm going to hurt you. Like, I'm going to target. He talks about targeting legs and bending legs and stuff like that. It's in the gimmick. So somehow, some way, they figured out Axiom can take this bump and know how to make it look good. I would assume. I'm assuming he didn't actually break this guy's leg. This is wrestling, right? But like, it looked like he did.
Yeah.
So I think that's where maybe there was miscommunication between what the doctors, whether this is a work, which it is. The doctors basically going like, "Hey, all right, now you're supposed to ring the bell." But you're right. The way the ref did it was like, "No, get off him. It's over." Is it over? What am I? You heard him like four times. What am I supposed to do? And then finally someone's like, dude, ring the fucking bell.
Yeah.
All right, it's over. It's over. It's like, it was over like fucking 30 seconds ago, a minute ago. So in a weird way, added something to the match. We always say that adds stuff to it. But wow, man, these two have chemistry. We've talked about them. We did a best match ever when we poured one out for NXT UK. Yeah. We did a podcast talking all about the best hits of NXT UK TV. And these two put on a match that we talked about on that show that was like stellar. And I'd say this was on that level, if not. I mean, this guy's been on a run. JD?
I almost wish they never did the Braun match. Because yeah. I think now he seems like a legit challenger. Ilya match, after this, I can see him. Maybe he'll do the same to Apollo
next week. He wasn't pinned in the triple threat.
No, but so, he was pinned in the singles.
He was pinned, yeah, true.
I almost feel, yeah, because now he feels he's having these great matches. And
bro, he injured Ilya.
This is the stuff he was, and this is kind of what when he first came in and was doing the kind of pointing at the body parts and what I'm going to do. He didn't really show that in his matches, whereas now he is. It's all coming together. So, I mean, I'd buy him as a challenger again down the line. It's
Me too.
We have seen him a few times against Braun. But yeah, really, like, match of the night here.
Easily match of the night. This was absolutely fantastic. I mean, Axiom, I'm not sold on the look and the character. I think he would get over with being, like, just what you use the name, but don't look this way. Mm-hmm. However, it's like, I can get over that. Like, I just think he is such a good wrestler. But these two have some great chemistry. This was fantastic. Would definitely recommend. Honestly, all the stuff Axiom's been doing with Nathan Frazier, all the stuff JD's been doing with Ilya and stuff, like the wrestling from all these NXT UK guys that have trickled over here has just been good.
Yeah,
so
it's been good.
Cherry picking NXT, would definitely say check this match out.
After the match, JD gets on the mic and says, "That's a severe strain, not a tear, because I'm a nice guy. But I'm not a nice guy when that necessary evil comes out. And that's to anyone who steps between me and the NXT title. Ask Ilya. He's still in hospital. And this is a message to the locker room. Someone test me. I'm looking at you, Apollo."
Damn.
And yeah, that's confirmed for next week. Apollo Crews versus JD McDonagh.
Okay, so then here we're going into a commercial break, but they announced that Shawn Michaels is announcing something. He's issuing a statement involving Deadline next week. And they kind of hint that it has something to do with a match that's on the show. So maybe we go towards some sort of multi-man match again? Elimination Chamber in NXT or something, like, not saying it's that, but like
it does feel like a multi-man,
you know, Apollo, JD, Ilya, Braun,
Vaughn, maybe, depending how next week's goes, you know, like
it does feel like
feels like we could have a six-man Hell in a Cell,
Armageddon Hell in a Cell in NXT. I mean, this one is going to be on the 10th. This is at night, right? This isn't during the day. Final Battle's during the day.
That's right, during the day. Yeah,
this one's during the day.
Sorry, no, that's Stand and Deliver. Yeah. Yes, no, this one's at night.
So, I mean, is it just in Full Sail? Is it just here? I think so,
yeah.
So maybe it's not going to be one of these elaborate matches that we're talking about.
Or maybe he announces next week that it's at somewhere. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know if you're going. They are definitely lining up. Mello as well.
There you go.
They introduced Mello in the Waller Effect.
Ladder match.
Didn't they? Just not a ladder match, dude.
Ladder match.
Do a fucking cell. Come on.
They're not going to fit us. You can't fit anything in that little arena. Unless you're thinking.
You've had war games in that arena. You've had two rings and a double cage.
In that thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, during the pandemic.
Oh,
right?
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I forgot. All right. Book it. Yeah, book it. Why not? Since we lost war games, we need a new gimmick. Yeah. So, like, we need something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I thought this match, though, was fantastic. JD is someone who, I mean, it's kind of he looks like he's got to be Shawn Michaels' boy, and he's been killing it since he's been over here. Been match after match. Like, I'm NXT 2.0 still doesn't have me, but like I said, they're still cherry picking of some really good wrestling, and he has been part of that. That has made me go, oh, he's in a match tonight. I know that it'll deliver, and boy did they do.
Boy did they do. We go to our 5-minute challenge.
Oh yeah,
Brutus Creed taking on Damon Kemp. And Brutus just attacks Damon before the bell, before he can get to the ring. And then he's just
beating him
down. Damon does go for the steel chair, which Brutus just blocks the chair shot with his arms. And then starts doing Brutus Smash, just raining down on him with his fists. It's a senton. And then picks up the steel chair and starts hitting Damon repeatedly with it. Causing the DQ, but got what he wanted, and that was payback.
Yeah, he hits him with the chair, and then the crowd chant, "Do it again." It's DQ, but he just beats him, wallops him with the chair. and gets his revenge.
Brutus wearing some weird, like, Giant Gonzalez singlet.
Yeah, look, we love the Creeds. We absolutely love them. They will be huge stars. But what was up with... It looked almost like a singlet, like wrestling singlet with pubes all over it. Yeah, it was puby, hairy. But it's not... It was gray with, like, dark colors. Very strange. That was what came to my mind. And then that's, like... Why? Out of all the gear, why would it look like that?
Yeah, it was very odd. Very odd.
But would like to see them move on, and that's kind of what they go to with the perch.
Yes.
Veer
and Sanger are on the perch looking at the Creed brothers, so assume setting up a match between those two, and you'd assume whoever wins that, I assume the Creeds will be facing pretty deadly for the titles at some point.
I imagine so. Maybe that's the deadline match.
And yeah, but not much of a match, more of an angle here with the beatdown.
For sure.
We get another video from Dijak, who says he's wiped the slate for a fresh start, as we see him burning the mask again. This mask is resilient because he's setting this thing on fire every week.
Three weeks in a row.
These masks.
He's got so many of them.
We see more of his face this time. He's wearing sunglasses. And he says, I'm going to get the entire world to cooperate and play by my rules. And those who do not follow will meet justice. My form of justice.
Damn.
Yeah, so that justice warrior, Dijak.
Maybe he's mixed into the title match.
In the everyone, six-man Hell in the Cell.
Everyone should be a challenge. Six-man Hell in the Cell Armageddon.
Yeah.
With Dijak chokeslamming someone off the top into a truck full of...
We don't have an Uso anymore who can... Because Solo taking the bump off the cell onto the...
Solo Sikoa taking that bump? Oh, man.
Do it needs War to Games. Happen.
Where the fuck is Rikishi? Let's go. It's time to bring him in.
Into the bloodline?
Splash off the top of War Games.
With Naomi.
Splash off the top of the War Games cage. Bring it back like off of Venus.
Oh, yes. Who's hitting that?
Rikishi. Solo.
Solo?
Solo. Ooh, Jey Uso.
Or both Usos off cage. Boom.
Yeah. While Roman goes, ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah. I need a bloodline shirt. We the ones.
Honorary Us.
We the ones. I want to pose with the with our bloodline, with Wayne John at the anniversary show.
With our fingers. The ones. Yeah. Yeah, we got to do that.
Who's our Sammy? WH?
No. Definitely not. He's not over. I don't know. I guess it would be him.
Yeah.
But he's not over as like Sammy.
Cena?
I guess Cena, yeah.
Cena's our Sammy?
I guess so, yeah.
Is W.H. Heyman? Is he the wise
sure.
man?
He's the wise man?
He's the wise man.
No, I wouldn't say that either. we're fantasy booking War Games again, but I don't remember how we got there.
We're excited.
Yeah. Going to war.
Yeah, Dijak. There we go.
Oh, right, that's right. Yeah, put him in War Games too. Fuck it.
So we see Roxanne Perez backstage approaches Indy Hartwell, and Roxanne's like, "Hey, what's up? You don't seem yourself lately. What's going on?
So chipper.
What's going on, Inns?" And Indy says, "Look, you more than anyone should know this. There are no friends in this business. Did you not learn anything from Cora?
Come on.
Fuck off, Roxanne.
No friends in the industry."
And Roxanne looking sad. She's like, oh, man.
She just wants friends.
Yeah, but Indy's just pissed off.
There's no friends in wrestling. But you know there are friends in wrestling podcasts.
Oh, all the friends. Friends. All the friends. We go to our main event of the evening. It's for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. Kayden Carter and Katana Chance taking on Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons. And it starts with Katana and Zoe. Katana just kind of flipping around here.
Yeah, very impressive back and forth with Zoe and Chance here, where there's like they're doing monkey flips and Zoe lands on her feet and like vice versa. It was very like one-upping each other.
Katana hits her like moonsault double knees, like Alexa Bliss, Kota Ibushi style, but kind of misses it here. And Vic says, didn't get all of it quite there.
Classic.
But makes the tag to Kayden. There's tandem power slams from Zoe and Nikita. And then Katana Low bridges Zoe, and Zoe just goes flying. She just vanishes off the screen. This looked great. Best low bridge.
She was gone.
Yeah, this is quite funny. And then Katana does this, like, slingshot through the ropes, Rana to the floor, which I thought looked pretty nice.
Very impressive.
Then there's a little bit of miscommunication between Zoe and Nikita, and Zoe shoves Nikita out the way to eat a double super kick to save her partner.
Yeah, sorry, was this Nikita pushing Zoe out of
Nikita
the way?
Nikita pushed up, yeah. Zoe out the way.
Yeah, there was some good offense. There was a commercial break, and Zoe somehow fought back and was doing, like, Brock locks. Not as impressive as JD's single leg crab earlier, but was doing some pretty cool work. But then when, like, it came time for all four in the ring, it was Nikita that, like, takes the bullet, like the classic, no, I'll do it, and pushes her out the way and then gets double super
which kind of signaled the term, because this was Johnny Gargano saving Ciampa from the ladder shot from AOP.
Exactly.
On that same night.
Callback.
Yeah. So now Katana counters with a DDT that she hits on Zoe, and then Katana and Kaden hit their 450 splash neckbreaker combo to pin Zoe and retain the titles.
Yeah, there was, I mean, you missed, there was a lot of good back and forth. So Nikita somehow gets...
My laptop died during this match, but...
Oh, fair enough, yeah. There was some really good, like, so Nikita got the double super kick, but it wasn't the end of the match, and then she still fought back and hit this pretty cool looking, like, half and half suplex overhead, which was really nice. And then, like, a sidewalk slam, and she was getting hyped up, but then eventually gets the stun dog. And then that's when Zoe's in there, and there was all this stuff. But Zoe's the one who ended up taking the pin, because she was the one who was, like, sacrificed from Nikita. But it had a lot of good offense before between the four women in this match, because, like, this was the rematch from a few weeks ago where we were praising it. Like, hey, this was pretty good. And I thought this one was on the same level, if not even as good, even better. And then kind of obviously leads up to where we thought this was going.
So Zoe and Nikita pick up the tag titles and they hand them over to Katana and Kaden and kind of give them respect. It's like, okay, you won it fair and square this time. But then Zoe doesn't let go of the title, turns around and cracks Nikita in the head.
Right,
great,
great
headshot with the title here, actually.
Damn.
And then goes to hit Kaden and Katana, who dip out the ring. But, yeah, Zoe turning on her partner there. I think this is good. I think I think Zoe's a tremendous wrestler, but this edge should be good for her. I think a heel turn could be good for her run.
I know they were totally signaling this last week with Zoe and stuff. Anyone could have seen this. But I was hoping that it was a swerve and that Nikita would actually go, yeah, we can be bad guys together. It would have been more. It'd be more interesting.
Yeah.
But solidify these titles and give these two a good reign, and spin off Nikita and Zoe into a feud. Why not? Sure.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things where you go, all right, who is the? Who else is in this division?
No one else.
There isn't any.
So yeah.
Are there any tags?
No.
No, because Ulysses injured, isn't
Toxic Attraction.
So yeah,
exactly.
So you really got to start, like, find Sol Ruka or a partner or something. I don't know.
Sure.
And that was NXT.
That was NXT. Yeah, always a mixed bag of stuff on NXT. There's so much filler and fluff that and stuff of the 2.0 stuff that I still really don't like. But in between, there's some pretty good wrestling and stuff that I know a lot of people are still completely checked out of NXT, and I totally understand that. But I would say if you're, like, a completist and stuff, there is still, week by week, some stuff to cherry pick that definitely is worth watching. And this week, definitely some of the wrestling. But there is still a lot of, like, okay, the barbershop didn't hit for me as it usually does. And where was the other location? The bar? It was just a little too... My grandpa and me used to crack peanuts. It was just a little too goofy, too Degrassi, as NXT 2.0 can get sometimes. But still positive because of the wrestling for me, honestly.
I really like this show, actually. I didn't really dislike any of it. I thought the kind of more enhancement matches were a little more entertaining than usual with like Hank and Stax there. I thought JD Axiom was fantastic.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the main. I thought the Grayson Waller threat was pretty fun.
Sino was saying, sorry.
And I actually liked, I liked the bar stuff and the barbershop. I thought it was one of the stronger episodes this week and great improvement on last week's.
Sino was saying that one of the graphics in the Grayson Waller effect thing was tweets from people. And one of the tweets, it didn't have the our handle, but it said, where does Grayson Waller get his shirts?
Oh.
So clearly that's your tweet. Every
that,
week.
That might be mine.
Every week. Where yeah. does he get his shirts?
Yeah.
And he never answers. The true heel that he is. Yeah. There was some fun stuff on this week's NXT. That's what we thought. I see we have one bit of feedback here, so I will read it. And it is from Sean, who says, that was a hell of a show. JD versus Axiom was an amazing match. Anyone who saw those two work in NXT UK know what's in store down the line. Brutus versus Damon was short but brutal and fun, and I'm really looking forward to the Creeds versus Indushir. Lots of great little moments along the way, too. Cora had a great video package, and Indy cut an impressive backstage promo. And finally, the main event was phenomenal. All four ladies put on a banger of a match, and Zoe's heel turn was perfectly executed. The road to NXT deadline is off to a great start, and that said, never, ever, never, ever, ever let Von Wagner speak again. And then and then Sean adds, I think he was listening to us talk about Brutus's
singlet.
Pube gear.
Yeah.
Brutus singlet had a gorilla print, since Brutus is basically a big old ape. Ah, I see what they were trying to do. But it has the hair down near his crotch that made it look like he's just like...
That's it. Sometimes someone's going to look at something and it's like, I get what you're going for.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it looks like...
Kind of looks like you haven't trimmed for a while.
Brute. Yeah.
Movember, what up, big brute?
Movember. That's what he's going for, down there. He's still awesome, but yeah. What's up, big brute?
What up, big brute?
Love it. Thank you,
When's
Sean.
When's he coming back?
I hope. Yeah, where is Roddy?
He got fucked up real bad.
Where is the line? He's going to show up with Bobby Fish down the line.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, that's it.
That was NXT. Thanks, guys, for listening to us talk about it. Follow us on all the socials. Every like and retweet is obviously appreciated. And Apple iTunes listeners, go check us out and give us a nice little review if you use that app.
Why not?
And hey, patreon.com/upnext. It's what keeps the lights on here. And we have all the podcasts out there. Go check us out. It's only $5. And anytime you sign up, it gives you a whole month of access to our Patreon. And we would love for you to check out all the podcasts that we have out there on this stuff. But we can't wait to see some of you next week as well at the post-wrestling 5-year anniversary. So it's going to be a whole
next
lot of fun.
Next week, wow.
Next week, we're going to be in
it's
New York.
It's exciting.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Can't wait. Thank you, guys.
All right.
At Up Next Podcast on Twitter. I, myself, Brain Harrington, am at The Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And I love you, my buddy old pal.
Ahoy! Oh,